We are going to turn again back to Romans chapter 12. I want to take a look at a few passages of Scripture here again in Romans chapter 12. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, how grateful we are to be here today. We do pray and ask for your blessing upon our country. We ask, oh God, that you would turn your face towards us, that God, you would call us to you, call us to the cross, call us to revival. We ask for an awakening in this country, an awakening in this valley. Oh God, we're asking that the gospel would go forth with power and authority. God bless the USA. And Father, we thank you now today as we get into the Word of God that you would open up our understanding, our comprehension. Let your Word be planted in our hearts. And may you receive all of the glory out of what happens here this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 again. We're going to focus mainly on one phrase of verse 9, but we'll read this whole passage here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. This morning we're continuing talking about the subject of be the church, and I want to talk about authentic Christians. Authentic Christians. Now, we know, and all of us know in this room, that the church is more than a building. That the church is made up of people. The true church is all those whose hearts belong to Jesus. Those who have called on the name of the Lord, those who have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and live it. Amen. We have to kind of add that in, don't we, right? Because we like to call Jesus Lord. There's a lot of people that talk about the good Lord. You ever heard people talk about the good Lord? Oh, the good Lord. The good Lord's blessed me, that good Lord. It's that, like when people refer to God as the man upstairs. Do you live in an apartment complex? I don't understand. God is not the man upstairs. You have someone in your attic that you're holding hostage, the man upstairs. You gotta go ask him. But you know what? We've been called to do more than just go to church. We've been called to do more than just attend or to be spectators at church. For a matter of fact, the church is what we're supposed to be. It's an identity. It's not just a label. How many of you know that labels don't make something what it is? I can take a bottle of strychnine, take the label off, and put Mountain Dew on it. If you drink it, you're still going to die. Because the label doesn't make what's in it. Labels are meant to describe what's in it. So if you have a label on something, it's telling us what is in the container. So folks, if we're going to wear the label of church, then we need to be the church. If we're going to walk around saying we are a part of the church, then we can't just wear it as a label. It has to describe and define what's really on the inside of us. Can I get an amen for that? Now, we started last week by challenging ourselves to serve. And that's why these things are still up. And we'll probably leave them up a little bit longer. We had a ministry fair last week. We want to highlight ministries as we go throughout the year so that you know what's going on here at the church. These are opportunities for you to serve, opportunities for you to give of your time, your gifts, your talents for the kingdom of God. If you need information about them, we actually have a ministry manual up here that gives you information about what these ministries do and how they impact and reach people. And so if you want to be a part of that, we've got sign-up sheets for you to sign up. If you're interested, put your name and phone number, and we'll get in touch with you and pray that you can get involved in some area of ministry. Because the challenge is, as the church, if we're going to be the church, then we should be involved in doing things for the kingdom of God. To give ourselves, the Bible says in Ephesians, to the work of the ministry. We've been called to be a part of the work of the ministry. And last week we discussed what it looks like to be the church in the first part of this chapter. What's it look like to be the church? First of all, it's a spiritual act of worship. Second of all, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, church people are transformed people if we're part of the church. Three, to be the church is to walk in humility. And to be the church is to be members who use their gifts. Look at the person beside you and say, you're supposed to be using your gifts. Or talk to yourself if there's nobody beside you. Hey, me, you should be using your gifts, right? These gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. The gifts that God has given you is given by the Holy Spirit. So if we are people of the Spirit, then we should be people who are using our gifts. If we're not using our gifts, then we're not learning to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So this week, I want to continue in this chapter discussing what it looks like to be the church. And I just want to look at the first phrase of verse 9. Verse 9a. I want to look at that phrase. Let love be without dissimulation. Now, most of us don't use the word dissimulation on a daily basis, so we'll discuss what that word means. What's it look like to be the church? The English Standard Version translates this phrase as, let love be genuine. The NIV says, love must be sincere. The New American Standard Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. The Amplified Bible says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. The Greek word here for dissimulation literally means hypocrisy or the acting of a stage player. Let love be without dissimulation. So what does it mean to be the church? Well, first of all, it means that we love. We cannot get around this subject, can we? I know I talk a lot about this, but we can't talk about being the church if we don't talk about loving people. We can't talk about being who God has called us to be if we're not talking about love. What does the church do? We walk in love. We work in love. We worship in love. Do you know that the Bible says that the number one defining mark of a true follower of Christ is love? I know it's easy for us to say, well, I'm a Christian because I don't drink and I don't cuss and I don't run around and I'm trying to live a good life. Do you know the Bible doesn't define that as Christianity anywhere? You're saying, oh, you mean I can cuss? Hallelujah, bring it on! It's always somebody, isn't there? There's somebody out there that thought that. You know, if we look at somebody and somebody's cussing all the time, the first thing crosses our mind is not man. That's a man of God. Listen to that woman of God talk. Right? Well, that's not the only one that crosses our mind. We see someone staggering down the street drunk. We're like, hallelujah, brother. That's not. We see them. Oh, they're not saved. They don't know Jesus. But there's people that walk around in hatred and unforgiveness. There's people that run around holding grudges. And yet at the same time, we label ourselves as Christians. The one thing that defines us as the people of God is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit has shed abroad the love of Jesus in our hearts. I know it's not easy to do, but it's what we're called to do. But this passage goes a little bit deeper, and that's what I want to look at. I want to look at that word dissimulation here this morning, at what the Christian love life is supposed to look like. It says our love is to be genuine, sincere, the real thing, and without hypocrisy. To be the church, we have to be real. It's not just an act or a show we put on. We have to be authentic Christians. We didn't just gather here today to put on a show. We didn't just gather here today because we have nothing else to do on a Sunday. We gathered here today because we love God, we love each other, we love those who are lost, and we come here today to express that love, to show that love, and learn how to walk in that love. But it has to be a love that is real, a love that is authentic. If we're going to be who God has called us to be, then we have to be authentic Christians. The problem is, the difference between authentic and counterfeit. How many of you have ever worked in a bank or worked around money, or that they give you certain ways to be able to identify what a counterfeit bill is? Most of the time now, you just give them a bill and they take that little yellow pen and they mark it, and that yellow pen, if it shows a certain way, then they know that it's a counterfeit bill. There's all kinds of ways to see whether a bill is counterfeit or not. And there's all kinds of ways to know whether a bill is real. But once you know what is real, then it's easy for you to identify a counterfeit. Instead of trying to learn all the things that a counterfeit bill would look like, if you know what a real one looks like, then you can spot a counterfeit. If you hold up a $20 bill, there's a strip that runs down the side. You got a watermark on it. Do you know that money, the ink on money never dries? That's why your hands get dirty if you deal with money very often. You can take money and wipe it on a white piece of paper and it'll leave a mark behind, okay? Because the ink never dries. That's one of the ways that you can tell that something is real. What am I saying? When we recognize and walk in the reality of Christianity, then it makes it easy for us when we start counterfeiting our lives. It makes it easy for us to recognize when we're allowing counterfeits. And the only problem is if we don't recognize the real thing, then we'll settle for counterfeits. How many of you know that most of you in here, if you could get away with using counterfeit money, you'd do it? You'd be churning it out in the basement or up here in the attic with the man upstairs. You know, if you could get away with it, you'd be spending Monopoly money out there right now. That's the problem with counterfeits. Once we get used to counterfeits, we settle for counterfeits. And God's not called us to be a counterfeit. He's called us to be authentic in our love for one another. Is it not true that one of the biggest reasons that people leave church or avoid church is because of the hypocrisy of the church? Isn't it one of the number one reasons that people will say, I don't go to church, or I stopped going to church because the church is full of hypocrites? And whether that is real or perceived, hypocrisy must be eradicated from our hearts. It must be a war that we fight on a daily basis as the people of God. We don't want to live as actors, as stage players. We want to walk in the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world, folks, needs a real church with a real love. And I believe that there is nothing more powerful than an authentic Christian who is praying authentic prayers, showing authentic love, giving authentic worship, and serving with an authentic faith. I do believe that the people of God, because we are full of the Spirit and we are armed with the gospel, that we can walk in supernatural power. But it's got to be authentic Christianity. There's a lot of popular sayings today, and some of those are, be real, be yourself, be authentic. You've heard those sayings before, right? Be yourself, right? Be you, be the real you. Live your truth, live your life. These are popular sayings today. We are encouraged that we should do whatever makes us happy. Whatever makes you happy, that's what you should do. That's what you should go after. And I've heard that many times before. I won't preach a sermon on happiness, but it's kind of frustrating. You know, we just say things, as long as they're happy, right? I know they're married to a drug dealer, but as long as they're happy. Really? That's what you think? Are you happy? Right? I don't go to church. I don't want to serve God. But are you happy? That's what matters. As long as they're happy. I'd rather they be holy, right? But we're told that being the authentic real us is what brings us the most fulfillment in life. Now, there's a lot of truth in this. As being working in youth ministry, I know that many, many times we told young people to not follow the crowd, to be yourself, to not try to be someone else. And that's good advice. And I understand the heart of what we're saying. What we're saying is, listen, you don't need to follow and be like everyone else. Be who God created you to be. But that's the key. God has called us to be what He created us to be. How many of you know that there can probably be nothing more miserable than trying to be someone else or trying to please people all the time? How many of you have ever ran into that? Isn't that miserable? Trying to please people? Some of you work with folks that you know that no matter what you turn in, somebody's going to like it and somebody's not going to like it. No matter what idea you give, there's always going to be somebody that likes it and somebody that doesn't like it. And you can probably point out the ones that do it. So it's near to impossible to please everybody, and it's miserable when we try to live our lives doing something like that. Being fake is never a positive character trait, is it? If you're filling out your resume, don't put down as a strength, "I'm fake." We talked about strength and weaknesses a few weeks ago. What are your strengths? My strength is I'm fake. I am as fake as they come. I'll lie right to your face and stab you in the back. I'm a fake! It's not normally a good character trait. Why? Nobody likes a fake. Even the one being fake doesn't like themselves. Eventually, it catches up to you, doesn't it? If you consistently put on a show, if you consistently put on a mask, if you consistently act like something that you're not, eventually it catches up with you and you find yourself saying, "I don't like who I am and I don't like where I'm at." There's nothing good about being fake. So when you try to be someone else or someone that you're not, you're always going to come up a little bit empty. You're always going to be missing out because you're trying to be something that you're not. And here's the thing, the Bible challenges us as Christians to be authentic, to be real, to not be fake, that our love is to be real and sincere. So where does this begin? Where does being real as the people of God, as the church, where does this begin? It begins with making sure we're a Christian. Doesn't that seem simple? It begins with making sure we're a Christian. Being authentic, being real, being sincere means by default that we are living from the heart. We can't live from the heart and not be real and not be authentic. We can't be authentic and not be living from our hearts. If we're going to be who we are, then we've got to live from our hearts. Even Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we talk about, what we say, is a result of the real us. We might be able to cover it up for a time being, but eventually what's in us is going to come out. Living from the heart. So if our love is to be without hypocrisy, then it has to come from a heart full of real love. If our love is going to be something that's without hypocrisy, it's got to come from a heart full of love. So in reality, as much as I believe that we should encourage ourselves to be who God calls us to be, the popular saying of "be yourself" can be spiritually dangerous if we haven't dealt with our hearts. If I just say to you, "be yourself," well, what if yourself is mean? What if yourself is hateful and arrogant? Y'all know anybody like that? Don't point at anyone. I'm sure there are some people that you'd like to look at and say, "don't be yourself, please." Come on, some of you spouses have said that, mainly to the husband, right? Some of you wives have told your husbands, "listen, we're going to my company's Christmas party. Could you not be yourself? Could you be someone else?" Some of you parents have said that to your kids. "All right, kids, if you act like yourself, you're getting whipped." There are some of us that say "be yourself" is probably not the best advice because we've got to deal with our hearts. Being ourself can actually bring us to judgment if we've not been born again. If we've not been to the cross, being the, quote, real us could place us in a separation from God. Remember, without the work of redemption, our hearts are darkened. Without the work of redemption in our lives, our hearts are darkened. So my advice is, don't be you if the you is lost. I don't know if that's correct English or not, but don't be you if the you is lost. You can be changed. We all need to be changed. This is the gospel. This is the message of the gospel. That if you come to the Christ, you can be made a brand new person. If you come to Jesus, He can change you from the inside out. This is the gospel. We need change. Let Jesus make you the you you always wanted to be. I mean, it's good for us to say, you know, I want to be my authentic self. But the only issue with that is that when we don't recognize that the authentic self sometimes needs to be changed by the grace of God, then we're not really being who Jesus created us to be. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? You can become who you were created to be through the blood of Christ and the indwelling power of the Spirit. Listen, all who would follow Jesus have to answer the call of denying ourselves and taking up our crosses. Jesus didn't say, come and follow me and just be yourself. Come and follow you as long as it makes you happy. Do y'all see that in the gospel anywhere? That's not in there. Be the authentic you. What's that mean? What does he say? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. How can we continue to, quote, be yourself when yourself needs to be crucified with Christ? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live is a life that is committed to denying self and following hard after Jesus Christ. And folks, this is why many times the gospel is offensive to the day and age that we live in. Because what our day and age tells us is that we don't want to judge anyone or make anyone feel uncomfortable about who they are or the lifestyle that they're living. And we have to understand that that's not the challenge of the gospel. The challenge of the gospel is not to come and live first. The challenge of the gospel is come and die so that you can live. We cannot be who God called us to be. We can't be the church if we haven't dealt with the heart. You have to start here. We can't be authentic Christians if we've not been made Christians by the power of grace through faith. We have to be made Christians. There was no one in here that because you were born into a Christian family or because you are born into, quote, a Christian country, that you are a Christian. You must be made a Christian. You must become one. That's why we're called to be the church. It has to do with the being of the church. And so God calls us to be changed, to be set free. And this all has to do with identity. This all has to do with who we are as the people of God. In the day and age that we live in a lot of confusion. We live in a lot of chaos. And it's hard sometimes to talk about certain subjects that are very popular in our politically correct atmosphere that we live in. We have gender identity problems. We have sexual identity problems. Within ourselves as people, we're having a hard time defining what a human being is. There is a lot of confusion in the world that we live in. And it's all wrapped up in who am I? Who am I supposed to be? As my heart breaks for folks that maybe are struggling over the fact that there are men who think they're women or women who think they're men or people who are struggling with sexuality or homosexuality. And many times the church has acted like these are the gravest sins. And so we've got to punish everyone. And it's an issue of identity. It's an issue of who we're supposed to be as the people of God. And I know that we might say, well, we need to be our true self. But our true self needs to come to Christ and be changed. That's the gospel, that our true self can find its identity in Christ. This is what it means to be authentic. Not living by feelings, but living by who Christ has made us by the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ. The challenge is to be the church, not just attend the church, because Christianity is about who you are. Being the church is not just that we are called to do something, but that we're called to be something. So if we have been to the cross, if our hearts have been filled with the Spirit, then being the church is who we are. Authenticity starts with making sure our hearts have been captured by grace. And I know this might seem basic, but all of us need to recognize, does our heart belong to Jesus? I know that there are people all over the United States this morning that are sitting in churches that don't know the Lord because they're in church, but they're not a part of the church. Walking in real faith that learns to depend on the Spirit will not allow hypocrisy to exist. There can be nothing more miserable, folks, than trying to live like a Christian when we really aren't. But there's no greater joy than living like a Christian when we're in Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian, is to be in Christ. Being the church is not a name on a membership roll. It's not a certificate that we get. Being a church is not something that we just decide to be. Being the church is a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You can come and take some classes here at the church, and we can shake your hand and put your name on a roll and declare that you're a member of Living Faith Church. But being a member of Living Faith Church is not what puts you into the family of God. Being a member of Living Faith Church is not what gets you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is being a member of the universal church, the body of Jesus Christ. And that only happens by a supernatural act of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, by grace through faith. If you've been coming on Wednesdays, we've been talking about grace through faith in the book of Galatians. But not only is being the church a supernatural thing, the life of love is a supernatural thing. Most of us would say amen to that because we all have people in our lives that we know if we didn't have the Holy Ghost, there's no possibility we're loving them. We all know somebody that if it wasn't for the supernatural power of God, we would have already smacked them, if you haven't already. So if love defines who the church is, well, then what does authentic love look like? We know what it looks like. We know what authentic love looks like. The Bible tells us love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Some of us need to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Love is not irritable or resentful. Gosh, that means love is a morning person. Love is not irritable, right? And it doesn't say love is not irritable after love drinks coffee. Love is not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't keep the King James Version says it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Man, gosh, how many marriages would that help if that would end, right? Because most of us, a lot of us, we have arguments, but we save the best ones for later, don't we? We got that list in the back of our head. We're just waiting for the right time. Oh, yeah? Well, remember 6 months ago? Paula doesn't do that. Kevin, stop acting like that. Love is not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Some of us have this hanging on our wall somewhere in our houses. We've had it read at our wedding ceremonies. There was a worship song that we even sang. We know it so well, then why don't we do it? This is the authentic love that the Bible calls us to walk in. I want to mention just three things from just this passage of Scripture that shows us what authentic love looks like. First of all, it's not centered on self. We are patient and kind because we're focused on other people. We are not envious, boastful, we're not arrogant, we're not rude because we want to treat others with respect. We want to treat people like we want to be treated. That's what love is. It's not centered on self. We don't insist on our own way because we're not self-centered. We're not always looking out for us. I'm not going to love you because I think you can give me something. That's not authentic love. Authentic love is God-like love, right? It's unconditional love. It's I'm going to love you in spite of what you're doing. We aren't irritable or resentful because love has empowered us to forgive. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is focusing on self. This is what happened to me. And because it happened to me, I'm going to hold on to this grudge. I'm going to hold on to this anger. I'm going to hold on to this hatred. But love allows us to not be resentful. Because we've learned how to forgive. So the first thing that this authentic love is it doesn't center on self. Second of all, it's rooted in truth. Love is not just going to let wrongdoing continue without addressing it. Love will always rejoice in the truth and speak the truth. The politically correct atmosphere of our day tells us that if we love someone, then we'll never judge them. That's the popular phrase. Have you heard that? Have you seen that on Facebook? I've said many times before, people don't even know what a Bible looks like, but they can tell you, judge not, lest you be judged. I'll see how many times I've seen that on Facebook. You're a judger. Judge not. I know it. You ask them, where's that found? In the Bible. Where? In the Bible. It's in there. Yes, it is in there. Judge not, lest you be judged. And so people say, if you love people, then you're never going to hurt anyone's feelings because feelings are king. Feelings are everything. So I can't say anything if it's going to hurt your feelings. That's not love, folks. Nor is it rejoicing in truth. If we're all worried about if I do something, it might hurt someone's feelings, then we're all going to be fake. We can't be authentic if we don't rejoice in truth. And we can never be the real person that God created us to be unless we rejoice in truth. Unless we are willing to hear truth. Unless we are willing for somebody to tell us the truth. So we're told in our day and age that if we challenge how someone is living or how someone believes, that we're being intolerant, bigoted, and hateful. But one of the most loving things we can do is tell someone the truth. If you're driving down a road and the bridge is out and you don't know it, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, you know, I probably ought to tell them, but I might offend them. What if they're in a hurry, and I stop them, and they get mad for me stopping them? So you just let them drive by. They were in a hurry. To where? Death. Death. Speaking truth, especially when we're talking about eternal truths. We're not just talking about good advice. We're not just trying to tell somebody they've got some broccoli in their teeth. Yeah. Hey, your hair's a little messed up. Right. Your tie's crooked. Can I fix that for you? We're talking about eternal truths. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about salvation, or we're talking about damnation. And so, yes, it might be uncomfortable sometimes to speak truth, but we have to speak the truth in love. We have to speak the truth in love. We rejoice in the truth. We do not rejoice in wrongdoing. We do not rejoice in evil. We don't rejoice in sin. We rejoice in truth. It's not self-centered. It's rooted in truth. And finally, love, it never fails. Authentic love never fails. Why can love bear all things? Why can love believe the best in others? Why can love live in unwavering hope? Why can love endure all things? Because it never gives up. It never fails. Love never gives up, so it bears up all things. You know what the phrase bear up means? It means put up with you. Bears all things. It believes the best in people. It lives in unwavering hope. It endures the hardest storms of life. Why? Because love never fails. Love will melt the hardest heart, and it will demonstrate the power of the gospel to everyone it reaches. Love never fails to change us, and it never fails to change the people whom we love. When we live in love, when we make a dedication to say, I'm going to be the church, and I'm going to love people no matter how they treat me, I'm going to love people no matter how they act towards me, that sets you free to do what you've been called to do. And that's just love people. People are going to reject your love. You're going to speak truth to people, and they're not going to want to hear it, and you may even lose a friend. There's only so much you can do for people, am I right? You can only confront someone so many times before eventually you have to walk away. I understand that. That's hard love. There's times in your life you can't just keep going over the same thing over and over again and expect different results. That's the definition of insanity. Eventually, love says, I've told you the truth. Now you have to do something with it. I understand that. But love always says, when you're ready, I'm still here. I know what you've said about me. I know what you've done, but I'm still here. How many marriages can be healed if we recognize that, hey, I'm going to love, I'm going to do my part even when you don't do yours. I'm going to love. Why? Because Jesus told me to. If we are to be the church, we must live an authentic Christian life with an authentic love. And so our challenge this morning that we need to accept is that if we are an authentic church, then the love of God, the gospel, will be able to go forth with no hindrances, no obstacles in the way of hypocrisy, no obstacles in the way of fakeness, no obstacles in the way of holding bitter attitudes towards people. Those obstacles are out of the way, and the gospel is able to be preached. The gospel is able to be shared. People look at us and say, there's something different about you. There's something different about the way you talk. There's something different about the way you treat people. There's something different about the way you tweet. Something different because you're motivated by love. Be the church. Let's live authentic Christian lives. Let's be who God called us to be and see our world change. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Father, how grateful we are to be in this place. We are so thankful for your love that is real. So thankful for your commitment to us that is real. That, Lord, no matter how we fail and how we've come short, Lord, you've committed yourself to us because you are love. You've committed yourself to our growth and to our success, to our victory. And we are so grateful this morning that, Lord, you continue to love us in spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done. Your love never fails. It never ends. It never comes up short. And we're so grateful here this morning that we can rely on this love. And now we're asking you here this morning that you would make us authentic, real Christians, that our love would be real, that our prayers would be real, our faith would be real, that our worship would be real, that our testimony would be real. And I pray, oh God, that it would start with our hearts today. I ask, Lord, that you would challenge us this morning. I ask right now that you would speak to anyone in this room that does not have a real relationship with Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those who are lost and are away from you and ask that you would draw them by your Spirit. We pray for everyone in this room who's been faking it and ask, oh God, that you would convict us and draw us by your Spirit. Pray for every backslidden heart here this morning. Every person in this room who at one time had a relationship with Jesus, but they've lost their fire, they've lost their excitement. They're not living a real, authentic Christian life. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would capture their hearts, that you would draw them by your Spirit. For every discouraged heart here today, I pray that your love would rescue them. We give you praise in Jesus' name.